You're listening to The Healthy Me Reset with Dr. Emily, Episode 3, Are You Destined to Fail? In a world full of conflicting evidence, getting healthy can be really confusing. I'm on a mission to create spiritual, physical, and mental health for myself and the listeners like me. If you're ready to create a Healthy Me Reset, this podcast is for you. Let's get started. Well, how's that for an uplifting preview? My resetters, who here is destined to fail and who here will succeed? I actually think this is a really important early episode in the Healthy Me Reset because I don't think this is for everyone. And if this isn't for you right now, it might be either it's the wrong time, you're not ready, or it's just not for you. I would venture to say that I think all of us at some point find ourselves ready for this. It's why Brené Brown calls the reset a developmental milestone, right? Where the universal spirit or God leans over and says, I'm not messing around anymore, right? I think for a lot of us, this hits in midlife. I don't know that it's exclusive to midlife. By that, I mean, I see my 20-year-olds going through unravelings right now where there's so many options, they don't know how to navigate it, and they're almost paralyzed, so everything crumbles around them because they're paralyzed with fear to step forward. I think of midlife, the version of this looks like, hey, I've created this whole life around all of these things that I know are unhealthy, but at one point I believed those were valuable and the world told me and America told me that they were valuable. And so now I'm so stuck in this and so overwhelmed, exhausted, stressed out, and tired in it that I don't want to live this way the rest of my life. I don't really see an out, right? And if it doesn't happen then, I think it happens in your 60s where you say, what have I done? I've just worked my life away and I don't really know that I have the relationship with my family that I wanted to have, or maybe I have the relationship, but I've never created anything successful for myself. And now I'm looking at having grandchildren or retirement or whatever priorities you're creating for yourself. And in that space, you literally are looking at your life and saying, what do I have to show for it? Welcome to the need for the Healthy Me Reset. Right? And as I've shared in the last few episodes, listen, I think we look at it first from a space of the habits that we have that are unhealthy. And it's a much, much deeper look than that, though. And that's why I say, I don't know that this is for everyone. For me, I don't know that until I had my daughter, I could have seen a need for a reset. And so certain things I think happen in our lives, whether you believe that's predestined by God to come in and teach you a valuable lesson, or whether you believe that that's by your choice and the consequences of your own action, right? There's all sorts of descriptions on it, but certain times happen in our lives where we have to take a deep look in the mirror. And I think those are the times when doing a Healthy Me Reset becomes actually the easiest. For me, it required a crumbling of everything. And here's what I mean. I had to reach the point where I had really truly met like the world's and America's and my parents and society's and what everybody told me was like my A game. I should be fulfilled. And seeing how unfulfilled I was in what I created to really be ready to look at getting healthy in my life. And I don't know that I even knew what that path looked like at the time. Certainly, I believe that the great I am or God has thrown many things into my life since I was willing to step up and made me take a much, much, much longer look in the mirror at who I was and who I wanted to be. So I think most of you who are in that space where you're like, that word unraveling speaks to me, that word crumbling speaks to me, you're probably ready for a true Healthy Me Reset. Those of you who are in the space who see one habit that you don't love, you're probably on the fringe and in the beginning of a Healthy Me Reset. You just don't know where this could end up yet. And so I welcome all of you to join this, but I also want you to consider in this process that you have to be ready for it not to be comfortable. And I would share with you that as I shared on our last episode, right, the doctor in me knows that in life, we are motivated by two different things, right? We are motivated by avoiding pain and seeking pleasure. That's basic humanity, right? I should actually say the coach in me knows that. The doctor in me knows that when we're in a search for that and we're searching to basically calm our nervous system, right? Through the processes that we've learned, we'll do that. So here's what I mean by that. I don't think any single one of you really wants to overeat if that's the habit that you're in. Here's how I know that. It feels awful, right? Have you ever looked at how you feel after a meal that you've truly overeaten? You feel physically bloated, stuffed, like you might vomit, exhausted, right? Ugh, that feeling, and you just almost can't wait for it to go away. Doesn't feel good to do that. Right? Even with our new things that America has developed, which is our hyper palatable, highly processed foods, right? They don't fill us up so much, but you feel afterwards mentally awful. You're like, why did I eat a whole bag of chips again? Why did I eat a whole bag of popcorn? How come I can eat all of those cookies? And it just happens to me, right? And so we'll say we went out of that habit, but you have to understand why the habit is there to begin with, to truly get healthy in that. And I shared a lot about that on last week's episode. So if you haven't listened to that, please go back and take a listen to it. This is a building on podcast, kind of like what I did with the Didn't See That Coming podcast. So season two of the Healthy Me Reset is all about building forward. So go back and listen to the episodes if you haven't. Share them with a friend, please, because having friends in this journey will make this process so much simpler for you. Join me in the fasting flock. A lot of this work is going to be through fasting, because I think it's the cleanest way to look at a relationship that's unhealthy is by minimizing or eliminating it and then looking at where your brain goes and your body goes when you do that. So there's a little preface of what's to come. We use fasting a lot. If that scares you, it did for me for a very long time. I was like, fasting? No, not going to do it. But it has created next level growth for me in every area of my life. So I want to share with you what I think leads to failure in this Healthy Me Reset. And I think it's important very early in this season to address that, because we bring ourselves to the table. And I know a lot about myself now that I would have told you in the past was my strengths, right? I think oftentimes when you look at this from a counseling standpoint or a mental health standpoint, we will say things like, you know, this was your black hole moment, or like the time when everything changed for you. And I'll tell you, as I've done more coaching, I do think I probably had some of those. But I think as much of me coming to the table is where people built me up and who I believed myself to be in strength in this world. And that can be a double-edged sword. By that, I mean, I know how I approach things like this. And I know you know how you approach things like this. But you may be at a place where you see that as your strength that ultimately leads to your failing. This is the identity level work that is part of the Healthy Me Reset. And it starts, as I shared last week, with just looking at unhealthy actions and understanding why we do them. But we have to take it all the way back to that identity level and understand who we are that we ended up in this unhealthy place to begin with. So I want to share kind of three types that I consider in this process. And I want you to ask yourself, which do you relate to the most? I think the first type of person is our cynic. Are you highly critical? Are you the person who says, I'm going to do it, but frankly, part of the reason I'm doing is to prove it doesn't work? Now, listen, you're not going to say that, but it's important to you to prove yourself right. And all of us experience that in our brains, right? So here's how you would approach this. I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it a little bit guarded, right? I'm only going to go half in. I don't really know, like she may say this Healthy Me Reset, but really all I want to do and all I'm here for is getting my finances under control or losing weight or not crying every night when my child doesn't respond to me again. That's really all I'm here for. She can say this beautiful get healthy thing and I'm like, sounds great for you, but I can get there. All of these, by the way, are good ways to start. It's who you bring to the starting table. I have a person like this in my life. This is not me. I will tell you, the cynic is not me. But my husband is this person. He is highly critical of everything. And so I've gotten a really close look at what that creates. It creates the ability to prove yourself right and create goals. But I think it's very difficult to look outside of that comfort zone of goals for these people. What I mean by that is I can get this far and you can succeed in getting that far. Like you'll make sure you'll do the work to get that far. But past that, you're not really willing to take a chance. And I just want you to consider that you are already limiting the healthy me when you show up that way. Absolutely, I am a believer in getting you to your goal. And I am a believer in setting that first goal. But are you open to the true healthy me reset path? Or are you saying, this is just a one-off, I have one problem, I believe in my ability to do that, I believe I could get there, I believe she could create that, but I'm not giving her, or this podcast, or the reset, or frankly, God, the great I am in my life, that power. It's a control issue. These are the stories that build chains in our resets. The second type, if you're like, not me, I'm not highly critical, I'm not like limited. I'm like all in, right? So this is the great enthusiast. This is me, by the way. Like I'm so this person. I don't do a ton of research. I've noticed this even with like coaching and things. Like if I hear one thing I love, I'm like, I'm in. I'm in. That's amazing. I want to know this person. I want to work more with this person, right? Like I want more of that in my life. And I will jump before I see the back end. 10 times. I get so enthusiastic about the possibilities. I love the idea of the possibility. Here's the problem with that. It plays really well to my belief that like to be picked and to matter, to be seen means I work harder than other people. So I can always live in that belief that like I will outwork everybody to make sure that this happens. And eventually that enthusiasm wears off. And when that enthusiasm wears off, I start questioning the back end. Ooh, maybe this process wasn't so good. Maybe this process wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. Maybe I'm not as excited about it as I wanted to be. I see this all the time in my fasting flock. Everybody comes in strong. And within a week or two, a lot of us, because you all are more likely to be my personality than my husband's personality, if you were drawn to this podcast and my work, right? It's like after a few weeks, it's crickets. It's crickets. Why? Because the enthusiasm has worn off. And now it's time to get down to the work. And if it's built on crumbling ground, guess what's going to happen? We're going to grasp at the next thing we can get enthusiastic about. I actually had no idea how much I'd be referencing one of my friends, Jen, in this podcast. But as I hear it, she tells me that. She's like, Em, I think you just get a little bored and move on to the next thing. I'm like, I think you're right. Right? That's kind of my story a little bit. So seeing how this is built into your story, but becomes a chain, I want you to notice how this starts to hold us back, right? The enthusiasm wanes, so we move to the next thing to build enthusiasm. Do we create results? Yes, I think we create the possibility of change and we'll create limited results in this process, but we won't get all the way to the healthy me. You see, I think the reason this healthy me reset developed for me was because everything next that I came to that I could get enthusiastic about crumbled. And I know that was a God level plan, not a me level plan, because I'm a pretty hard worker, right? So everything kept crumbling. I also know, and we can do a whole nother episode on this, that I wasn't depressed in this process because I was enthusiastic about things. I think oftentimes where we turn for strength gives us the results. And so for me, it wasn't about, that's why I don't struggle with over-medicating because I have the knowledge and I use it, right? Like I'm not depressed, I'm enthusiastic, but everything's still crumbling. And the distraction of the next thing would get me excited and then it would crumble, right? If you've experienced life like this, you're probably in the unraveling. You're at the developmental milestone. What will you do with it? When you're the great enthusiast, you can predict what you'll do with it because you've done it over and over again. The third is the worried committer, where my first people aren't worried to commit because if they commit, by the time they commit, they're going to do it, right? They're just going to limit how much they do to stay safe. The second is like, I'm enthusiastic and I believe I could do everything while I'm in enthusiasm. And then that wears off and I get distracted with the next thing. The next is more of my anxious, worried people. And I reference this a lot when I talk about the ladies who join my coaching program and would tell me in the past with weight loss that I've got to do something. And I was like, great, that's our A game. That sounds really exciting. Can't wait to get started. Right? The enthusiast in me wanted enthusiasm. They're like, I've got to do something, right? So you start well-intended, but you get overwhelmed with the worries about what you have to do. And in that overwhelm, we try to create more control by more rules, more restriction, more deprivation. That creates more overwhelm, more stress, and it literally strangles your progress. So if you're a person in this story, I've had many of my ladies who probably did go through some trauma early in life, and especially my ladies who struggle with anxiety, you see the world as unsafe. It's like when things get uncomfortable, it goes to unsafe very quickly for you. And in that space, the growth and the progress gets strangled out. Because although living the way that you've been living is uncomfortable, you make it mean it's unsafe to change. Your brain does that, by the way. Learning how to navigate this at a higher level is absolutely the creation of the healthy you. So recognizing that story in the background is so powerful to see who you bring to this table that makes you feel like, by the way, all of these spaces end us in the thought of I'm destined to fail. I'm destined to fail. Like I fail over and over again. My story was I get so excited. I work so hard. And what's really interesting is to look at how your life was created around this, because I will tell you, my husband is the cynic, the critic, right? And in those moments, when I get really enthusiastic, he stifles it for me. Yet I keep going back to him, knowing who he is and how he's going to respond. I still go back to him for enthusiasm. You've likely created a whole life around this, by the way, right? I think often we look to like, let me give you the personality test. And by the way, please respond. I want every one of you who's listening to this to go take a free Enneagram test. I think the paid ones are probably a little better, to be honest with you, but there's some that are free. Go take them and send me an email of your Enneagram number. Because with my recent Healthy Me Reset group, I decided I was going to guess their Enneagram numbers just by coaching with them. And a little bit of the Healthy Me assessment that we do in it, I was like, let me know your Enneagram number. Nailed them. Because it explains so much of how you approach the world, what you bring to the table. Now, I think the limits there live in what the heck do you do with that afterwards, right? My sister-in-law just took it and she's like, oh my gosh, my brain is on fire. I took the Enneagram test and it's totally me. And I said, so now what do you do with it, right? And I offer to you that I have a goal for the future. It's not ready yet, but I have a goal for the future to do Healthy Me Reset days with all of you, because I think understanding that and then developing a plan of what you actually do with that is how you change this, right? That information is all great, but it's just like, for lack of better word, like mental porn until you do something with it. And doing something with it is the Healthy Me Reset, recognizing who you are in these stories. So I want to share with you that those really are types that when you approach the Healthy Me Reset with that skill set alone, you are destined to fail. It's the skill set we've all learned and developed in our stories to be us. Yet we know where it's gotten us in life. Here, ready for a Healthy Me Reset. Each is a little different, but all ultimately end up in limited, if any, results. That's not what I'm here to help you create. That's not my goal. I've seen this through weight loss coaching. I've seen this in my medical practice. I've seen this in the church. I've seen this in my small town and in trying to create better there. Like anywhere we come, we bring this version of ourselves. And so you'll see the people who want to stop and don't want to really do much because it makes them anxious when they get home and it starts going through their head and then they shut down the progress. And we see the people who start off strong, but we know they're going to burn out. I was that person for a long time. I don't even know if I'd say it was burnout. It was just distraction to the next thing. Right? Because I always had a work in progress because that was my value. Or you'll see the people who are cynical and stand back, but you know if they commit, they'll get a little bit of it done. They'll play their part. They just aren't going to take much more of the part than that. And when we think of a true healthy me reset, I want to help you consider that better is possible for you. Better has been possible for me. If you listen to my first episode, the trajectory of this path for me through all of what you would have just called were habits, but I don't even know that I would have said things like overparenting or overspending were a habit. I didn't even know how unhealthy what I was doing was because we live in a time and a culture where overconsuming is the norm, right? So I was just doing what all the other parents were doing. I was just doing what all the other doctors were doing. I was just doing what all the other overeaters were doing. And so to see that shift from where I was to where I am now was a process. But there was so much peace and so much lightness through the pain. I don't want to underestimate for you that this is uncomfortable. It might at times, especially if you are a person who struggles with anxiety or depression, it could feel unsafe at times. But I would shift with you that if you look at where I am now in my healthy me reset, I'm so much safer than I ever was before. I don't have to overwork. I don't have to have my children have the exact results I want them to have. I don't have to live at a certain financial income level. I don't have to have sweets on board for bad days. I don't have to chase what everybody else tells me matters anymore. That process of getting there was uncomfortable. But if I can offer you that there's a peace that you won't expect, why wouldn't that be worth it? So if you've told yourself, I'm destined to fail, and these chains are built into your story, I offer you a whole new perspective today. And this is going to blow your mind a bit. Because you know who I got this stuff from? You know who I recognize these three types of humans from? You know where I turned and spent a little time reflecting to come up with this? Wasn't the Enneagram, wasn't coaches, it wasn't doctors. It was a flipping story that Jesus told. And I'll be honest with you, I had to get real clean in my healthy me reset on my relationship with Jesus. So I didn't want to preface by telling you all that because I think some of you hear that and you're like, oh gosh, here we go. And some of you hear that and you're like, yes, amazing. I spent a long time in my reset by, oh gosh, here we go, just by hearing that. But I'm going to tell you a story that's really beautiful, especially for my flock people. Join me in the flock if you're not in the flock right now, right? We're getting ready to create a flock's nest. It's just going to be amazing. So for those of you who feel a little uncomfortable with the Bible, I did for a very long time. It's not that I didn't have faith. I had faith. I just didn't have a relationship with God, to be honest with you. I think now I look back and I'm trying to understand where he was in that whole story. That's my reflection right now. But at the time, I felt like I'd screwed up so much that why would he even care? And my life aligned with that. Like things were hard. I was working hard. I didn't believe I was lucky. I didn't believe I was hashtag blessed. I believed I had to work harder for other people just to scrape by. And I knew what I'd created. I knew my part in that. But I will tell you that when I've spent time just sitting with God, the places that I'm drawn to in the Bible, just opening it, are not what you'd expect. God drove me, a person who was searching, to Job. By the way, the book of Job is like, it's like the most, I think if you look at a person who's depressed in the Bible, go read Job. He had reason for it. Everything crumbled. And yet my favorite phrase, which you will understand when you hear a little bit of my story, in the whole entire book of Job, when I come out of it, I like to think of my favorite verse from it, my most learned lesson, is where God says, would you make me a sinner so you could be a saint? Would you make me a sinner so you could be a saint? I think I lived in that story for a long time. And I lived in the story that Jesus was kind of like the golden child of his family. Right? Like he does everything right. I can never make him up to Jesus, right? The problem was I was trying to measure up to Jesus, actually. I just didn't see that at the time. Like I can't measure up to Jesus. I'm human. He's God, right? So no matter where your thoughts are right now about Jesus, I just want you to take a step back and look at the story he told. Okay. This is the story of the scattered seed. I'm going to read it just a bit. I love The Message Virgin, by the way. Currently reading Savannah Guthrie's book, and so good. I mean, it could not align more with the work I've been doing the last few years. It's amazing when you see this stuff and you're like, how are we all saying variations of the same thing? There's got to be a higher level involved here, right? And her book is God Mostly Loves Me. God Mostly Loves Me. She loves The Message. I love The Message version too, because I think it's modern day speech, right? And so here's what he says. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 13. He continued, do you see how this story works? All my stories work this way. The farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. Listen, I know some of you hear the word Satan and you're like, I was too for a long time. But I sat with this for a bit today with God in a beautiful devotional, by the way, that I'm reading, a Bible study by Lisa Harper, where she says, what does this mean? And I said, that's the hardened hearts. That's the cynics, right? They hear it, but the ultimate results get snatched away. As soon as it gets uncomfortable, nothing plants, right? So it's very limited the results you can get when you approach it this way. And some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there is nothing to show for it. Whoa. I don't think I would say I had a shallow character. But I do know that at the beginning of this, I was like, God, help me find the path you have meant for me. Now let me go live about my life and you're going to make it feel good. Right? I don't think I saw the bigger vision because I got lost by the next thing I could be enthusiastic about. So my road was the gravel path. My husband, the hardened soil. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. These are the people stuck in the weeds, right? The weeds of anxiety, the weeds of fear. Don't get me wrong. There were points that I experienced to this, the worries, right? When I gave up control of parenting, when I gave up the need to overwork and spend at a certain level, when I gave up my relationship with food, like I would rather have done an exercise challenge for a very long time till I figured out it really just never worked, right? And I had to stop. And it's that stress that we start saying is unsafe that strangles it and nothing comes of it. And then he offers, but the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. I want you to hear that part. Produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. When you see your story, when you see the reasons you think you're destined to fail, and you're willing to say, I'm part of the picture, that's part of the unhealthy me. It might have been built on the strength of what I saw as a child, but I'm at that developmental milestone. I am at that place in my life. I am at that place where I say to myself, this unraveling is not going to end up well. I will not be the person who starts guarding my life. That's not what I'm here for. I want to live fully. I want to live with passion. I want to live what I was intended to live. I want to hear my voice. I want to find my voice. I want to remove the roadblocks from hearing that. I want to create a roadmap. And I want to let God, the great I am, the universal spirit, continue to straighten that path in me. With a peace that I could never experience if I just keep resisting it. And in that, you create a greater harvest than you could ever imagine. I was recently in Sonoma with my brother who bought a vineyard. He is an amazing risk taker. I mean, this man, for me being such a rule follower, we knew this from when we were kids. Who are we kidding, right? Like I would outline pictures with like a darker color of the crayon so that I made sure I colored in them. And my brother Whit would get in trouble because he would color it as fast as he could outside every line and turn it in. And the teachers would be like, you have to actually do this. And he'd be like, I want to be first. That's part of his story, right? That I want to be first. But I was so incredibly amazed when I went to Sonoma with him recently. We live in Kansas. We live in rural Kansas, if you don't know that about me. And what I said to him is going to blow your mind. I was like, listen, Just so you know, this isn't that different than rural Kansas. And he was like, agreed, our crop is just different. I was like, listen, I love this. Like, I love seeing the intricacies that people are spending on one little crop. Like, this grape, the way they work in it, the way they work with it, the way they work with the soil, the way they work with the vines to build branches, right? As I hear myself say that, I hear, the seven I ams of Jesus. Like, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the good shepherd, you are the flock. I am the gate. I am life. There's so much beauty in that, but this you have to be open-minded to. I fully see that a lot of my people are science people. I'm a science person. Fully, I'm a science person. Like, I'm a third generation physician. And we're going to do some transformative work here through this Healthy Me Reset that is going to check some of your beliefs. Even some of you who are faith people. I can't tell you how many preachers' wives I coach because we let life get in the way of our faith. And I'm going to challenge you. We're going to look at challenging things here. So I want to share a bit about me. I have really good intentions here. They are grounded in, first of all, my faith. And I don't say religion because I'll tell you, I don't really know. I don't think there's a debate here. Like, to me, Catholicism versus Baptism versus Methodist versus Lutheran versus whatever, like, we're all on the same team, right? So it may challenge some of your beliefs there. I may challenge them. I'm going to use my tools. I have really high medical knowledge. I'm a doctor. I'm an obesity medicine doctor and family physician. I will do the work to look at this. I am growing in my faith. I don't consider myself an expert there, but I'm going to bring on people that I think could give us a higher level knowledge. And I am a certified life coach. The certification mattered to me. I use tools called the self-coaching model, right? Developed by the life coach school. A lot of these in psychology are called think, feel, act cycles. There's many variations of this. I am bringing all of these tools to help you create spiritual, mental, and physical health to create a reset. So if this is for you, you got to dig in a bit, right? This isn't going to be a superficial podcast. Dig in. If you want to work with me further, you can go to my website and work with me on this. But I don't even want to give you a space to just fill your brain with noise anymore. The answer to this is to look at your story. And then spend some time this week with the great I am and ask, what do I need to do here? I love to spend time with music. I do devotionals. I read Bible studies, right? Like, I do all of that. But I think the space is clearance first, clearance of your mind, because you got way too much jumbled up in it right now. So I like to put a song on because sometimes I just love, well, first of all, I love music. And secondly, it gives me a different space to look. And so I'll share with you all my playlist that you can download in the show notes. But I also want you to consider this is my song that came up for today. And it's called Nobody by Casting Crowns. And I will tell you, God meets me in the strangest, funniest ways. But here's what I want you to know. All of us have stories. All of us have chains. All of us are built into one version. It's like the stories we're born into, right? The family ways that we navigate the world, the ways that we learn through school and our family, right? If you look at how we develop as humans, like the first 4 years are mainly your family and they're the people around you who are teaching you how to be a human, right? We're built into human bodies that experience stress certain ways. And I firmly believe God made you this way, and you can use it to your benefit. It doesn't have to be against you. But just know that everybody has them. We are all flawed. That's the human experience, right? I am flawed, but I have good intentions. So do you. Let's use those to our highest level in the Healthy Me Reset. And so when I bring up nobody, it's like, oh, come on. If you're struggling with who you are this week, let's look at it. Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery because all my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line. With all the other not quites, with all the never get it rights, it turns out they're the ones you've been looking for all this time because I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. If Jesus teaches us on that level, It's really probably just your thoughts about Jesus that are stopping you from having a healthy relationship there. Just saying, it was for me, right? Consider this. Moses had stage fright. David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody could have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, "Who do you think you are?" I say, "I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul." I really think that is my story. And I have beautiful tools and am willing to use them in a very unique way. But I understand now that they were a gift from God, just like all my stories and my chains, just like Job, just like Jesus. Let's get started all together. None of you are destined to fail. You are human. You are flawed. You'll do this imperfectly. You'll have great intentions, and we'll all show up in love. That's the key to the Healthy Me Reset. If you're ready to create your Healthy Me Reset and want to find out how to work with Dr. Emily, make sure to check out all my resources at www.emilyvinzantmd.com. The link is in the show notes.